I'm Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo,
it's now a race against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A Milwaukee police officer is dead. The police department confirmed the officer was shot this morning on the city's south side, then died at the hospital. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says officers are responding to reports of a robbery. The officer got into a shootout with a teenage suspect who also died. Mayor Cavalier Johnson is urging people in Milwaukee to be engaged when it comes to reporting crimes in their neighborhoods. Former Western Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind has a new job. Kind says he's been hired as a senior policy advisor at Arnold & Porter. It's one of the biggest multinational law firms in the world. Kind served in Congress for 26 years. He chose not to run for re-election last fall. In sports, the Bucks beat Portland last night. Marquette plays UConn tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good. We'll be right back.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Everything is on demand now, but there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry, and I am not setting myself on fire today.
Not today.
Sorry to disappoint for anyone who thought that's what was going to happen, because we led you on at the end of yesterday's show. But in fact, I am here... flameless.
Yes, you are flameless. I can concur.
And so, happy Tuesday. It is State of the Union Tuesday, February 7th. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are here to have a great show. And in the newsy top of the hour, we are going to talk about State of the Union in the second half of this hour, talking about kind of predictions of what's going to be talked about tonight, what our bingo card says, a reminder of one of the best jokes ever about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who will be giving the rebuttal tonight.
It's a classic.
And some interesting facts that maybe you know, maybe you don't know about the State of the Union, which it was not always called that. It was, I think, first fact, if I remember off the top of my head from what I read this morning, it was only started to be called the State of the Union with FDR.
Really?
Prior to that, I think it was called the President's Address or something like that.
Hmm.
But we're going to do that. At the end of the hour, we're going to wrap up another hit to conservative media in Wisconsin. Right as progressives are learning how to grow liberal media.
Oh, gosh, that sounds dangerous.
What am I talking about? You'll have to stick around for the end of the hour when we're going to talk about that. But to kick off... this is the beauty of live radio. Sometimes you change it up of what you're going to talk about. We had plans to discuss, continue the conversation around the caregiver shortage and how we're going to take care of our elderly and our aging population, because there's a lot of them. And we're going to hold off on that conversation and probably do it on Friday, in conjunction with Mark Sommerhauser, who's from Wisconsin Policy Forum, who just penned or reported a new study that basically shows that in Wisconsin, the trends for older people look good as far as people are living longer with the advancements and the medical treatments that are available. But people my age... The age group, 20s, 30s, 40s, are actually going the opposite direction because of homicides and...
opioids.
Opioids. But the only, we're going to talk about that on Friday, but also I think tying into the conversation around what's happening in Green Bay with Medicaid and long-term care. But instead, today, in urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy, in his column, Murphy's Law, has a very interesting question, which I'm kind of surprised no one else has picked up on yet.
It's interesting.
And it just simply reads, this dropped at literally 30 minutes ago. Is Judge Doro hiding her biography? Judge Doro, Judge Jennifer Doro, one of the four candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which that primary is 2 weeks from today. So a quick reminder that you can, if you want to still get your absentee ballot, you can still request it. Just do that immediately so that you can get it and send it back with enough time. Otherwise, plan to vote on February 21st. There are four candidates. So it is, you know, vital to get your voice heard, that the candidate you like the most makes it through to the general, which is April 4th. And if you're hearing this for the first time, basically there are two conservative candidates and there's two liberal candidates, and Judge Jennifer Doro being one of the two conservative candidates. And the other one being Dan Kelly, who is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, who was appointed by Scott Walker and then lost his re-election to Jill Karofsky in 2020. And I think up until the Waukesha Parade trial of Daryl Brooks, which Judge Jennifer Doro kind of got a lot of credit and recognition for how she handled that.
Right.
I think the de facto assumption was that Dan Kelly would be the conservative candidate. And then with her kind of quick rise in name recognition, I don't know enough about the behind-the-scene politics of Republicans and conservatives in this state, but clearly she was encouraged to run. And the thinking being that banking off of her name recognition, right?
Sure.
And that a lot of people in tough on crime, in the face of rising crime, which I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but just recognize that a Milwaukee police officer was killed last night, and our condolences and concern, and that
to all the people who serve.
Yes,
seriously.
Yes. And the tightrope of talking about what I'm sure we'll talk about in the next in the State of the Union segment, because I know policing and gun control and all of that will be a topic tonight, because I know Tyre Nichols' family is going to be there. So there's this tightrope that we walk around, accountability for police, that the police need to be held to, but also the inherent danger of their job. But that's a bit of a tangent. Going back to, you know, the appeal, I'm sure that Judge Doro kind of came with was coming off of her recognition for this trial. But with that comes this article, and it starts like this. There's something missing from the Waukesha County Circuit Court website listing information about its judges. Click on the names of most judges and you get a biography of them, but click on Judge Jennifer Doro and you get nothing. Only that she began as a judge in 2012. There is no LinkedIn profile for Doro, and her campaign website bio tells us only that she has had a 26-year legal career and has, quote, prosecuted, defended, and judged a wide array of cases and issues. So again, I'm reading from Murphy's Law, written by Bruce Murphy on Urban Milwaukee, and the title is Judge Doro Hiding Her Biography? And so basically, if you try to find more information about her legal career,
her experience,
as of right now, there's a lot that you can't. It's a lot of vague. She's been working. She has a 26-year legal career.
She's prosecuted. She's defended.
Yes. And, you know, I think one of the pieces that we've talked about before was when she applied to be a circuit court judge, because she was appointed by Scott Walker, you know, she listed the worst U.S. Supreme Court decision of the last 30 years.
Most egregious, I think it was.
Was that the word?
That might have been close.
You know, out of all the ones she could have picked Lawrence versus Texas, which was the law that said you can't make it illegal to have same-sex sex. That's in her opinion, the worst decision. But that was, you know, so there was tidbits that we knew about her. But turns out she worked as a DA, a defense attorney for the Waukesha District Attorney from 2000 to 2004. And after 8 years in office, she took a job for a higher salary at a private law firm run by Matthew Hupperts, where she worked for nearly 6 years before becoming a partner. And then she worked 2 more years as a partner. And so she worked his cases as a prosecutor. But then she worked as a defense attorney.
For this private law firm.
For this private law firm. And as we've talked about, and we're going to have Jessa Nicholson back on, who's a criminal defense attorney. When you are a defense attorney, you are obligated to do the best you can for your client.
That's your job.
That is your job. It's to defend them to the best of your ability. And what it sounds like from this article is that she did that. And she got lower sentences. And she took plea deals. And she did what a defense attorney is supposed to do. But now, because of politics, they are trying to wipe this from her record. Which is interesting.
It is.
And it's unfortunate because it doesn't make her bad at her job. It's in her ability to get lower sentences or get people off or make a case for people who were criminals, who committed crimes. That's her doing her job at that point. But because of the environment we're in now, of this huge talking point of tough on crime, and, you know, a large reason why she was plucked and convinced or, you know,
encouraged,
thank you, that was the word I was looking for, to run because of the Waukesha parade trial.
Tough on crime. She's tough on crime.
And so it's interesting that the people running her campaign have tried to wipe that part of her history from, not clear, because obviously you can still find it, but you gotta, as far as not easily accessible.
Right. You got to look for it. You have to research for it.
And so I guess my question is, you know, as someone who, in full transparency, I'm not going to vote for her. But if you are someone who is still debating who you're going to vote for 2 weeks from now, if you are someone who is deciding between a Dan Kelly or a Jennifer Doro, does her lack of transparency about her past make a difference? We're going to keep talking about this when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the west 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows around 24. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 42. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. We are talking about whether or not Judge Jennifer Doro, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, which that primary is 2 weeks from today, is hiding her bio. And whether or not it matters. Do you think this makes a difference for people who may or may not be considering voting between the two conservative candidates, and why? Give us a call. We would love to hear from you before because 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Because I'm trying to think if this was flipped for me. Because as I said, I'm not voting for her.
Right.
But in trying to approach this in an objective way, if one of the two, if either Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz, there was not a lot in their background, would this change my vote? Because this kind of goes back to the conversation we had with Jim Santel last week as far as our ability as average voters to be able to have enough information to cast a confident vote for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because it's such a different position than most of the other local government, state government positions that we elect, as far as how people can campaign and promises of the policies that they care about and the things and the action that they will take where their value system and their background becomes, you can put A to B a little bit easier versus a judge where you can look at their background as far as their legal experience, their experience either as a prosecutor, as a defense attorney, as a public defender, as a private corporate lawyer, all the different types of law one can practice, and then their experience and how they judged cases. But that's a lot of research, right? And if you're hiding your bio, and there's already so little sometimes to choose from when we are making a vote like this, isn't that kind of a big deal?
We have a text from the 262. Again, we're talking about Judge Jennifer Doro, an article in today's Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, which kind of says her experience and past as a defense attorney is kind of being glossed over. So we want to know, does that matter? Is a lack of transparency important? Texter from the 262 says, does Jennifer Doro's lack of transparency matter? You bet it does. We don't need another George Santos fiasco. I don't know that those are exactly the same things that we're talking about. That might be a bit of a stretch.
But I appreciate the joke. What was the joke you heard this morning about George Santos sitting at the State of the Union?
It's perfect that George Santos will be at the State of the Union address. He'll be the first person to have defrauded a charity to be there since President Trump was in office.
This is a tangent, but the other recent... This isn't even a joke so much as, because he's now stepped away from being on any committees.
George Santos.
So it's like, oh, so you just want a six-figure salary to do no work now.
Essentially. It's a good gig if you can get it.
This guy, man. So,
just imagine, though, Kristen, if, say, Judge Mitchell and his campaign was trying to cloud over his experience as a defense attorney and the cases that he pleaded for his client to get a lower sentence, which is what a good defense attorney does, no matter how reprehensible you might find your client and what your client did. Imagine the outcry.
I totally agree. And I think I almost find myself defending her in the fact that this is your job.
Yeah.
And it's okay that is your job. And it goes back to our assumption that, you know, or the way that sometimes political consultants or these campaign managers think voters are dumb. And that they can't handle this part of her past and it's going to be spun around. And to make her soft on crime when if she was not making plea deals or not asking for lower sentences, she literally would not be doing her job.
She'd be a terrible defense attorney.
And I just think it's fascinating that, again, this talking point, this issue of crime and being soft on crime is so dominant in so many of our elections, because reminder that the Wisconsin Supreme Court does not do trials for criminals.
They don't do criminal cases.
They don't do criminal cases. It's case law, and it is making decisions on whether or not something is following a case is following the law, not whether or not someone should be sentenced to the maximum for their crime. And so the fact that there's just this assumption that this is so prevalent in voters' minds, for even the voters who will vote in this, because remember, it's always very low turnout when it comes to spring elections.
Which is disappointing.
Which is disappointing, and a reminder to go vote. That this is also disappointing that this is the ploy that they're using to hide her background and her bio, because they assume that their electorate who would vote for her will be convinced that she's soft on crime because she was doing her job as a defense attorney.
It goes against their narrative, and it's inconvenient. Now they're going to have to stand up for defense attorneys, which that'll be a first.
I know. All right. Well, when we come back, a little primer for the State of the Union coming tonight, and you can you can listen to the State of the Union live across the Civic Media Network starting tonight at 8 p.m. But when we come back, some fun facts, some predictions, and a joke at Sarah Huckabee Sanders' expense. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A 7.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey and Syria has killed more than 2,600 people, and there could be more bodies trapped under buildings. This man says the shaking started in the middle of the night.
Just instinctively, we just ran for our lives out of the building. And then we saw other families just coming out, running for their lives as well from the building.
Authorities in East Palestine, Ohio, are warning people a train derailment with dangerous chemicals on board could still blow up. Charles Emmix with the Red Cross.
chaotic. A lot of people don't want to leave their house. They don't understand what the dangers are. Some of them have pets at their home, and it's hard to convince them to get out.
Retired General H.R. McMaster says that Chinese spy balloon clearly violated international law.
Part of a sustained campaign of espionage against the United States. So I'm hoping this is kind of a wake-up call for all of us.
Crews are still working to recover its pieces. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Madner. Here's what you need to know. 15 residents of the Emerald Bay Retirement Community and Memory Care in the village of Hobart in Brown County are being evicted. The facility sent letters to the residents at the end of January and told them that as of February 28th, they'll no longer accept Medicaid payments because of rising labor costs and inflation. Previously, Emerald Bay said it had to pass costs on to private pay residents, who in some cases faced rent hikes of 18 to 24%. Barricades on four roads crossing tribal lands in Vilas County are still in place. This is a dispute between private landowners, but Governor Evers spoke with tribal leaders to make certain all parties are working towards a meaningful resolution. The Bureau of Indian Affairs sent notices to affected landowners as early as 2011, but no significant progress has been made by town officials to resolve those easement issues with the tribe. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Heaven sent you, laid it out like evidence. Read all the words you never said, like speeches for the president.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matnair. We are priming for the State of the Union. President Biden's second State of the Union. It is time for him to make the case for himself and his agenda to the American people. And this year, it's a little different than it was last year. Obviously, last year, it wasn't divided government the way that it is now.
Right.
And, you know, this is basically the coming on the heels of him officially announcing his 2024 reelection bid. And so, to kind of set the stage for, or the backdrop for what we're going to see tonight, you know, there are plenty of GOP investigations happening. Like I said, we have divided government, and both chambers are narrowly controlled by either party. We are in the face of tensions over the federal budget, specifically the debt ceiling, We apparently have classified documents, like party favors, all over the country.
I think it's like a parting gift. You just take them when you leave.
You know, we got a Chinese balloon fiasco, and it comes as apparently in a new poll, only 23% of Americans are satisfied with how things are going in our country. Though that is up 6% from a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, not the most cordial environment, but, you know, what is he, if you had to guess, Jane, what do you think he's going to, the big topics are going to be?
Well, he's going to talk, first of all, I think about infrastructure and that is finally getting underway and shovels are getting in the ground. So I think that will be something he's going to promote, and he's certainly going to tout his economic policies. Last week, didn't we just find out that we added 500,000 jobs?
Yeah, that's why he's coming here tomorrow.
Right.
To talk about
bringing back manufacturing jobs and stuff like that.
Well, and that's what's wild. We need to get an economist on here to explain this to us, because the mixed messages, it feels like we are getting...
The sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, no, no. It's all good.
And of course, he's going to spin as much as he can to say that the economy is moving in the right direction, which includes, you know, the lowest unemployment rate in decades and more jobs and potentially downplaying, you know, record high inflation and recession concerns and how many tech. I just heard Dell's going to lay off a bunch of people, too. So, you know, the continuing layoffs in tech, although the creation of jobs. And so it'll be interesting to see how he frames that, because I don't even know if the media is doing a good job explaining or framing it as far as what is actually going on with the economy. So what do you think would be a good person? There's some people at UW-Madison or KED or some kind of hoity-toity economist to come be like, what is happening?
All right. Is the sky falling or not?
Yes. Should we?
Just say yes or no.
Will radio still be a thing a year from now? Will we still have jobs? Okay, great. Thank you. Like I said previously, I'm sure gun control and
opioids,
police reform will all be talking points. Tyre Nichols' parents are going to be there. I'm trying to think. What else? Foreign affairs, I would imagine. I mean, especially considering...
Well, China,
for sure, with the, you know, everything that was happening with the balloon. And I think they just claimed that the balloon over Latin America is theirs as well. And so there's that. But, you know, if you think about a year ago, his State of the Union last year was just days after Russia invaded Ukraine.
Gosh, that's right.
And this year, it's happening just days after he's announced that another $2.2 billion in new aid for Ukraine. And, you know, more and more Americans are saying that we're spending too much, and where is this going, and why are we doing this? So I'm sure there will be an explanation of why it's so important to continue to support Ukraine. Because think about that. Think about a year ago where the rhetoric, except for some, but the overwhelming rhetoric, I think, for most people, as they, you know, people on their Twitter accounts were changing their profile names to have the Ukrainian flag in mm-hmm. there, and the amount of money that was rolling in and everything. And like so much of the public support was to help and support Ukraine. And I think it's much more divided a year later.
Oh, I agree with you.
But yeah, then there's also China and Taiwan. And so trying to think of how much he'll talk about that. And it'll be interesting to see how much he talks about the bipartisan achievements, because there has been some.
There have.
As far as the infrastructure bill, as you just said, the Safer Communities Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, which we are going to talk about later today as far as what that means for you, because it is in effect, and how much that ties into what he says they're going to be able to do when it comes to the debt ceiling. And so... I don't know. Do you? This is a sillier question. How many gaffes do you think there's going to be?
I'll say four. It's a long speech.
It is a long speech. I think it's 60. I think I saw predictions because I'm sure that they. It's just like the state of the state that we were talking about, that people that they release at least a draft of the speech to media outlets. And I think I saw 6,400 words.
Wow.
Which is a long speech.
That is a long speech for anybody.
For anybody, let alone, what is he now? 79?
77? We'll check.
I think he's 70. Because they were talking about how the fact that by the time he would be done with his second term.
He is 80.
He is 80. So, yeah. So, by the time he would be done with his second term, he'd be 86.
Right.
I don't want to be an ageist, but that is really old.
We need term limits. Chuck Grassley is 900 years old. The senator from Iowa. Strom Thurmond was as old as Methuselah. I mean, it was ridiculous. He would sleep. You'd see him sleeping in the chambers. I don't want to be ageist either. I'm old. But I can admit that there are things for which I would not consider myself at my age.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like, as far as I can tell, all like full steam ahead, he's running again. And no one else is going to run against him, despite what could be a very crowded Republican primary.
Yeah.
But I spoke about this once with my friend who has worked on a lot of different Democratic campaigns, both in Wisconsin at the state level, but also on Obama's campaign twice. And, you know, is much more in the circle and in the loop of Democratic campaign politics. And he just said, he was like, listen, you always want the incumbent. No matter what. He said, I'll take an 82-year-old Biden as an incumbent than someone who's not in there. And I don't know if it's just because of name recognition.
It's that much harder.
It's that much harder. And as far as like just like politics 101 is being an incumbent gives you a leg up. And so, but then the rebuttal is going to come from newly inaugurated Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Of Arkansas.
And obviously she became prevalent in all of our minds when she was the press secretary. And when she was the press secretary, she got to go to, I think that was the last one of.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The correspondence
dinner. When Michelle Wolf was the host. And it was funny because Hasan Minhaj had been the host the year before, and he had as a comedian, someone who has a lot of political commentary, social commentary, is very funny, but has a very good heart and a good message that he tries to end on, and like a feel good message. And he did, because he is the son of immigrants, and he ended on, even though this was Trump's inaugural, like first year, he ended on a note of like, in America, someone like me can host something like this, and isn't that wonderful? Versus Michelle Wolf, who just burned the house down.
Yeah, she burned them all down.
And then for the next 2 years, there was no correspondence dinner. So let's just, as an homage to that night and Sarah Huckabee Sanders being on the main stage tonight again, let's just play that joke.
We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts, and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies.
Don't forget, though, there's always been a lot of controversy over that event and whether or not journalists should be mixing with politicians that they are expected to report upon.
Well, and that's probably a subject that we could do. I mean, maybe not a whole episode on, but a whole hour on, because I think of that just as a side note, because right now I say I'm not a journalist, but I editorialize the news and we talk about the news and why. And this is going to go into the next segment as far as while we have opinions, I do try to hold myself accountable for being fair, being open-minded, and I have a lot of friends who are politicians. And so it's interesting that you bring that up of like, as you work for, you know, where do you draw the line and how much of are we held responsible on our own to say what we're comfortable with? But I, you know, I also have friends who are journalists, and they're that line between walking the balance between having your relationships, not only just with politicians, but their staffers and those, and the people who give you information as you're trying to write stories. And so, and you obviously sometimes you don't like those people, but sometimes you really grow fond of these people who are in the trenches, maybe on in a different way than you are. So that's interesting that you bring it up. So maybe we'll try to get a panel of people, of other media professionals who, at least on the state level, I'm immediately thinking of how Jesse Opoyan would talk about this.
Me too. Again, I just want, how chummy should you be? How chummy should you be? And I think that was the criticism about this event.
I always thought the criticism was is just the, how the comedians just roast everybody.
That's their job. Isn't it?
Well,
equal opportunity offenders.
Equal opportunity offenders. And so, I don't know. I'm assuming you're, would you, if it wasn't part of our job to talk about it tomorrow, would you watch tonight just for yourself? Personally?
Yes.
I would too.
Yes. And there is an article in the Washington Post that makes an argument for why we should get rid of the State of the Union address.
Oh, I haven't read that yet. What does that say?
Basically that, yeah, it's the third most watched thing in America with tens of millions of people, but there's 330 million people in this country, so it's really not that much. And with the dissemination that we have now of news, you don't really need to watch it in real time. You're going to see clips all over the place. You're going to see, you know, what the big highlights are. And this article from Philip Bump also says, you know, this would avoid the grandstanding by some of our politicians, like Nancy Pelosi ripping up Trump's speech in 2020. The guy who called President Obama a liar in the middle of it. But I think it's important for those reasons to show those people and to show how they behave. That's why I think we need it.
So you're on the side that we need it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it provides entertainment. Oh. That's also entertainment.
That was a surprise.
Interesting. What do you think? If you should we still have the State of the Union? Does it provide a insight? Or not. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Do you ever care to say that you want me?
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 38. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 24. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 42. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry across the Civic Media Network. We are rounding out our first hour, our newsy hour.
Hey, I just want to throw one thing in.
Yeah.
That was The Clash, and I played that for one of our fans, one of our listeners, and who had requested it because it's National Clash Day. But I just want to throw out there, if you ever have a song you want to hear in the bumper music or something you haven't heard in a long time, please, please let us know. I will happily track it down for you.
We are a very accessible show.
Yeah.
As far as the DMs and emails and text line. And I will list all of those off right now as a reminder. If you want to email us, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. If you want to, the same number, whether you want to call us or you want to text us, is 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Otherwise, across all of the social medias, you can find us at As Goes Wisconsin on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
And get the Civic Media
app. Facebook. And get the Civic Media app. And follow Civic Media on everything. Follow all of the things. Support us. Because I found this yesterday. Because apparently, Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit.
Oh, dear.
And this came from Wisconsin Right Now, which is an independent conservative news site that is Wisconsin News. And they tweeted out yesterday, Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit. The owner of Empower Wisconsin has just shut down the website. This at a time when progressives have figured out how to grow liberal media in Wisconsin.
Dun, dun, dun!
To my point saying, because I follow Wisconsin Right Now. I followed and subscribed to Empower Wisconsin because I try to get a range of information. And in following them, I was under the impression that they thought liberal media was already thriving because the mainstream media is liberal media, is it not?
All media that they don't like is liberal media.
Isn't that why they created themselves as an alternative to the liberal mainstream media?
Definitely.
So then who's figuring out how to grow liberal media if it was already the mainstream? I'm so confused. But I will say it's interesting that, I mean, truly, because Empower Wisconsin, I would say, you know, across the different, they were a digital media company. They wrote their own articles. They had a newsletter. They had a Facebook page that had like 12,000 followers. And I subscribe to the newsletter. And I checked yesterday to see if there was any kind of, you know, thank you.
Update.
We've had a great run. This is why we can't go forward. But I checked everything. And they just turned it off. If you go to the website, it gives you like a 404 error message of this site does not exist. All of their social media is still up, but like the last tweet or post was February 1st. And so I don't know if anyone's going to dig a little bit deeper of why they have shut it off. But apparently, Wisconsin Right Now is a little concerned.
Look out.
And I don't know if they're referring to us when they say progressives have figured out a way to grow liberal media. I don't know who they're referencing when they throw that out as a threat.
Well, and again, I think you make an excellent point because pretty much all media that they don't like is liberal. And that's just the way of the world.
Because I think Wisconsin right now, we talked about this because it was after, it was when Dan Bice had broken the article about Judge Jennifer Doro's son potentially being involved in the overdose of a young UWM student and how she had had a confrontation with the dad, and Bice was the one who wrote that article. And Bice was also the one who wrote the article about Everett Mitchell and
right.
the accusation that his ex-wife had made 10 years ago. And so Dan Bice doesn't pick sides. Like, he writes the juicy story no matter what side you play for. And yet, of course, Wisconsin Right Now's reaction to Bice's article about Doro, not Mitchell, was how it was a hit piece.
Smear job.
He's like the part of the like Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that is so liberal and blah, blah, blah.
Muckraker.
And because, I would just say I think it's interesting as far as this tweet being an admission that they know that the Journal Sentinel and other established, reputable journalism in our state is that. It's journalism. It is not a liberal slant. This show has a liberal slant because we are an opinion show. Like most, a lot of the shows that we have on this station and a lot of the shows on WISN are an opinion show that lean right. And so the importance of continuing to be able to identify what is straight news that is objective and what is opinion is very important. And I love that they basically, I'm waiting to see if they're going to respond to me because I did retweet that and say, wait, I thought the mainstream media was liberal media, but they have not responded to
me. There you go,
that.
Poking the bear, Kristen Bry.
I don't do that very often. We've already established that I was very confused when I said something not so nice about Skip Bayless. And I got the air message, the warning from Twitter saying, "Are you sure you want to tweet this?" I was like, "Is this new?" And then I got a lot of responses from people who said, "No. This has been around for a while. You're just too nice."
It will be interesting to see if they respond. I would think it depends upon how their narrative is going to go. If it's useful for them to attack you, they will.
Well, it's also interesting as a media outlet that they tweeted that at all. Like, instead of reporting it as news of empower, you know, the objective way to rewrite that tweet is the owner of Empower Wisconsin has just shut down the website.
That says it all.
Right?
Yep.
And that's something that they are making the choice to report on, but they're choosing to add the color of Wisconsin conservative media has taken another hit.
Yeah.
And at this dire time of progressives figuring out how to grow liberal media. And so, you know.
That seems to have a slant.
Seems to have a slant.
Just a scooch.
So, all right. Well, we're wrapping up this hour. But when we come back, Representative Jody Emerson from the 91st District up in Eau Claire is going to join us to talk about maybe we can get the Safe Harbor bill passed. The fourth time? Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
There will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.